Well, hi folks, welcome to day three of this week's teaching, where I'm teaching once again from my book, The Promise. All about the promises of God, how to obtain the promises of God. God makes us incredible promises. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, he said, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ to the glory of God through us. Glory is brought to God through us when we become those who obtain these great and precious promises. It's amazing. And it's also amazing how little we do that, how that we can sort of sing about them, hear about them, read about them, but not obtain them, that we can look at the promises of God and think they're for other people, think they're for a far off time, they're not for now. We can find reasons to believe that they are not valid expressions of what God has for us. And I actually love that word, obtain promises. It's something we need to grab a hold of and obtain. Hey, we're going to jump into that into a moment. And I want to give you three keys to literally building your own promised land. God has a promised land for you, but you have something to do to enter into that promised land. Three quick announcements as normal. If you are new to my ministry, please do check out many of the links below. My churches, my traveling ministry. My YouTube channel, we have over 1 million subscribers and we'd love to have you as part of that. Probably the best way of keeping in touch with me is signing up for our email newsletter. And we will give you a free copy of this book as a download when you sign up for that. And lastly, I would love it if you'd pray about becoming a partner and supporter of this ministry. You're probably watching this video right now because one of my partners has helped me pay YouTube, Facebook, whatever, to put this video in front of you. And part of our vision is to take this message of faith, the message of the Word of God, which is the message of faith, and put it in front of people who wouldn't normally hear that. That's anybody in the world. But at the moment, I particularly have a heart to reach young men and Muslim young men with the power of the Word of God. So I'd love it if you pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, for literally $10 a month, I can put these videos in front of thousands of people who wouldn't otherwise see them. And I think that's a really great deal. Boom. All right, good. Let's grab a Bible, a notepad and a pen. And I want to begin talking about what I really want to talk today about is about renewing your mind. I want to talk about repentance. And there are many aspects to repentance. The Greek word metanoia, many people have heard, and many people sort of misquote, but to repent is to recognize something wrong. To repent is to turn from that. To repent is to be sorry about that as well. A lot of people try to rewrite that in modern charismatic circles in the last few years, but there's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance, the Bible says. And yet, so much of repentance is encapsulated in the thought to relook, to rethink, to look at from a whole other point of view, to change our way, our lens, I like to call it, our operating system, our way of processing that. I actually love the word operating system because I'm probably because I'm a geek and you know, if Apple brings out a new operating system once a year, I'll usually download it and install it that day. Sometimes you're better waiting a few weeks and seeing if there's any bugs, but I'm that kind of person. I remember the day in 1995, shows how old I am now, where Windows 95 came out. I was living in France at the time and they had a Rolling Stones song started up with a little start button on Windows at the time. And my point is simply this. I think God is interested in upgrading our operating system. I think so often we're trying to operate with a framework that doesn't fit the promises of God. If I gave you a piece of software today, if you were running Windows 95 and I gave you some 2026 software that I've just vibe coded on Claude Code or whatever, it's not going to work. It's probably not going to work anyway. And so often, I think people are walking with an understanding, a framework that will get them so far, but won't get them into where they need to go and where they need to be. In a way, God came to Egypt and he rescued a nation of slaves. probably 2 to 3 million people held in slavery. They were slaves, their fathers were slaves, their grandfathers were slaves, their great-grandfathers were slaves. You know, if you've lived in slavery for generations, where you're fearful of the master and the whip, your only source of income is what your masters give you, you've grown up in that context, you've been educated in that context, there's really everything you know fits within that paradigm. It's actually really hard to learn to live as a free person. And in one sense, it was quite easy for God to set the children of Israel free from the slavery of Egypt. What was a lot harder, and frankly what most of them couldn't do, was for God to tend to set them internally free. Even though they were physically free and they were wandering in the desert and God was providing everything they'd ever need, they were still thinking like slaves. They were still reacting and responding like slaves. They were still living the life of a slave. And I want to tell you, if you are living the life of a slave, at a practical level, it's very hard for you to possess your promised land. You know, at the beginning of that sojourn in the desert, Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land, the land of promises, to evaluate the land to see if it matched up with God's promises. And all of the slaves came back, the slaves in their mind came back and said, yeah, it's a great land, it's wonderful, full of houses and vineyards and that. But 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it. They literally said to Moses, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, in our own lens, if you will, in our own perception, compared with the giants in this land. They didn't say, it wasn't actually a comment about the giants in the land. It was a comment about their own perception. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, in our own understanding, in our own perception, compared with the inhabitants of the land. Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, hey, if God be for us, game over. If God be for us and his favor be upon us, we can take this. And I think what we need to learn to do, and it's a journey and a process in a way, is we need to have God upgrade our operating system. And frankly, for most of us, we don't need a tweak, we don't need a change, we need to step into a whole other realm with God. We need God to completely rewire our mind. We can't tweak the ways of the world. The Bible says, don't be conformed to the ways of the world. Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So I think, you know, I used to think renewing the mind meant learning a scripture and learning to quote it. And I sort of had this idea that over many, many years, if I keep trying, I'll eventually learn to think like somebody in the kingdom of God. And I've changed my perspective on that a lot recently. I think literally we have the mind of Christ. I believe we have a natural mind and we have a spiritual mind. The Bible says the natural man or the natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit of God, the foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned and spiritually understood. And at times we're trying to walk in the supernatural. We're trying to possess our promised land with a natural, rational, carnal mind. And the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity. It's at war against the mind of the Spirit. It'll never understand the things of God. And I think at one level, when we're going to walk into the promised land that God has for us, it's literally like we need to lay down our mind. Don't get all weird on me here. And step into and put on the mind of Christ. I think you can put on today by faith the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says we have, not going to have, we already have the mind of Christ. And I think like putting on a set of clothes is a freedom persona, a freedom place, a freedom mindset that we step into that will change and transform our life. You are already a new creation. Old things have passed away. It's not your job to try to get all things to pass away. All things have already passed away. And behold, look, observe, think, see through the lens of everything becoming new. And I believe if we will step into that, is there some work involved in this? Is it a process? Well, yes and no. From God's point of view, it's already given. I think our process is to practice it. I think our process is to practice, oh, hang on, I'm thinking like a normal human being and to step into Christ Jesus. Our process, our journey is to practice living as the new man, living in the fullness of who we are in Christ Jesus. And I think the more we do that, the more natural and normal it will be. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And I think when we learn to think the thoughts and the ways of God, we can enter into that promised land he has for us. So I encourage you, practice that. Do it right now. Tell your carnal mind to get under, you know, to be subject to your spirit and step into that natural spiritual mind. Learn to recognize when you're flowing in the mind of the spirit and when you're flowing in the mind of the flesh. You know, nearly every week I'll be in my own home church here, the church I lead here, and sometimes at the end of worship I'm transiting the service, and it's like the Lord is speaking into my spirit man, and he'll tell me about somebody in the room with a pain or problems or whatever, and then my rational, carnal, logical, it's not evil, it's just natural mind wants to kick in and take over and go, Graham, what if that person isn't here? What if it's just you? What if it's your imagination? What if nothing happens? You look silly, we need to move on the service. And I literally often find myself, like Paul said, caught betwixt two. And yet what I've learned is I'm stubborn enough to go, you know, even if I'm wrong, I'd rather be that guy who's wrong occasionally, and yet I'm going to follow my spirit. And I'll tell you what I found, I'm hardly ever wrong when I'm genuinely following the Lord. So, encourage you today to practice that. Put on the new man, put on the new mind, created after him in righteousness and true holiness by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4 verse 23 and 24. Thanks for watching, guys. Again, consider signing up for our email newsletter. I'll give you a copy of this, and I'd appreciate it if you pray about helping us pass these videos on by becoming a partner to this ministry. You don't have to. Everything we do here is free at the point of delivery. We're here to serve and bless you. So thanks for watching, and God bless you. Bye.